Yoga in all its forms has been a support for me in my life, through all the highs and lows. It's opened my mind and my heart in ways I never knew were possible. It has been a teacher, a taskmaster, and a friend. This podcast is an offering. I wish to share the teachings of yoga with you as a tool to help navigate life. Namaste, and welcome. Welcome. I'm so happy you're here. So I was thinking about the book club that we do through the virtual studio of Om Tara Yoga. And the latest selection is called Overstory. I believe the author is Richard Powers. And it is a novel. And it has to do with these different characters and their stories and how they relate to trees. And it's more than that, but that's just an overview. But one of our Monday night meditation groups on Zoom, we had gotten together, and I was a little late to the group as the host and facilitator, and they were speaking about the book. And a couple of people had the book, and a couple did not have it yet, and they were talking about, I don't know if I'm going to like it. And some people were, just kind of uncertain about whether or not they wanted to commit to it. So I pop on, and in my true nature, I kind of got right into the core of the conversation. And I think one student had said, I was really hoping we would read a novel. As she held the book in her hand, I said, it is a novel. I did choose a novel this time. I didn't know, but the book was in her hand. Then another student was saying, well, I read some reviews about it and I'm not sure. And then a third student said, everyone's looking for certainty. Everyone's looking for certainty. Uncertainty is the rule, really. But everybody wanted to be guaranteed an enjoyable experience if they were to crack the binding on this book. And just, I'm halfway through the book and it's fabulous. I'm loving it. It's really beautifully written, but that's not the point. You take a book, you get it by recommendation, you go to watch a film, all these things. You don't know if it's going to be enjoyable, but I find it very interesting how even those things in our life, we're looking for certainty. Like, I don't want to go to that restaurant because you can't guarantee me. I've never been there and you can't guarantee me the food's good. So I just want to go to restaurants where I know the food is always good. And it's just funny how we do those things where, hey, maybe it's the areas that we can secure some kind of certainty or the illusion of certainty for ourselves. But anyway, that leads me to what I wanted to discuss in this week's episode, or at least I think it leads me there. We'll see. And it's about hope. And just kind of tossing that word around a little bit, it came up in an interview I was listening to. I think it was the quote from Dante's Inferno, something along the lines of, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. And I believe that was a sign over the gates of hell. But I thought more along the lines of Pema Chodron, the wonderful author, Buddhist nun, student of Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche. Pema Chodron, I hope you all know her. If not, find a way to get to know her. But her book, one of her books rather, called When Things Fall Apart, Heart Advice for Difficult Times. Well, I've cracked the bindings on this book many times and have done it as a book club book with the members of the studio. But she talks about hopelessness, and the title of the chapter is Hopelessness and Death. But she talks about hope and fear. So I'm going to share some of her thoughts from here, from this book. And she talks about in Tibetan there being an interesting word called ye tang che. The ye part means totally, completely, and the rest of it means exhausted. Altogether, Ye Tang Che means totally tired out, or we might say totally fed up. And it describes an experience of complete hopelessness, of completely giving up hope. This is an important point, she says. This is the beginning of the beginning. Without giving up hope that there's somewhere better to be, that there's someone better to be, we will never relax with where we are or who we are. We could say that the word mindfulness is pointing to being one with our experience, not dissociating, being right there when our hand touches the doorknob or the telephone rings or feelings of all kinds arise. The word mindfulness describes being right where we are. Ye Tang Che, however, it's not so easily digested, she says. It expresses the renunciation that's essential for the spiritual path. So I think of this that she talks about, this disassociating, not doing that, you know, being able to experience being right where we are at all times. I think about the definition of hope. I looked it up. And the definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So right there in the Merriam-Webster definition of hope is an absence of being present. So a disassociation from the now, right? So you're not here now. You're hoping, and in hoping, you're projecting to the future. You are setting yourself up for an expectation. Hopelessness, she goes on to say, means that we no longer have the spirit for holding our trip together. We may still want to hold our trip together. We long to have some reliable, comfortable ground under our feet. We've tried 1,000 ways to hide and 1,000 ways to tie up all the loose ends, and the ground just keeps moving under us. So again, there is no certainty. All of life is uncertain. All of life is impermanent. So she says, when we try to get some lasting security, it teaches us a lot, because if we never try to do it, we never notice that it can't be done. So turning our minds toward the Dharma speeds up the process of discovery. So she goes on to say that this being able to be fully and wholly present requires us to give up hope in the true sense of the word. She goes on to say that we're all addicted to hope. Hope that the doubt and the mystery will go away. It's like an addiction. And we do reach for things in this addiction. And she says, the first noble truth of the Buddha is that when we feel suffering, it doesn't mean that something is wrong. What a relief. Finally, somebody told the truth. She says, suffering is part of life, and we don't have to feel it's happening because we personally made the wrong move. In reality, however, when we feel suffering, we think that something is wrong. As long as we're addicted to hope, we feel that we can tone our experience down or liven it up or change it somehow, and we continue to suffer a lot. So we are really fighting the present moment quite often, right? So we say the definition of suffering is wanting the present moment to be something other than what it is, right? So Pema Chodron has said things like, you wake up in the morning and it's raining. And the rain is coming down real hard. And depending on your circumstance, that can evoke a feeling of suffering. So for instance, if it's your wedding day and you planned an outside wedding and this summer day decided to have torrential downpours, you're going to suffer due to the rain. But if it's a Saturday and you have off from work and you really just planned on, I don't know, cleaning out a few closets, watching a movie somebody recommended, and DoorDash and dinner, it's totally fine with you. And you don't have a dog to walk It's totally fine with you that it's raining. So the same rain can either cause suffering or the lack of suffering, depending on the circumstance that you are bringing to it, your perspective, your experience. To hope that it doesn't rain on your wedding day, right, is to have an expectation or a desire for a certain thing to happen. Well, then you're hoping, oh my God, and it, on my wedding day, I had a horse and buggy on my wedding day. I was married in 1985. And my father just didn't really give any thought to the fact that I was going to have a horse-drawn carriage bring me to the church until he had to get in the horse-drawn carriage. And he said, you know, I heard you talking about this horse-drawn carriage for months now, but I never put together that I'd be sitting in one going down Merrick Road in Massapequa on Long Island. But alas, there we were. But of course, when I got up that morning for my wedding day, it was an indoor wedding, but it was a horse-drawn carriage taking me to the church and the reception hall. And the skies were black. Storms were threatening. Thunder was crashing. And I had to scammer and make some phone calls, or probably I was a bit of a bridezilla that morning, even though we didn't have that term in the 80s yet, and have people make phone calls because I had to get some limos. I had to get things with roofs and doors and windows we could close. And it was a very stressful morning. And I remember my mother lovingly saying something like, well, you know, if it rains on your wedding day, it's good luck. And I just absolutely dismissed that completely. But anyway, as soon as the horse and buggy pulled up to the front of the house, the skies cleared. So the sun is always shining behind the clouds. We know this. And it is, can we adjust in the moment that things are not going the way we had hoped? Are we able to reduce our suffering and the suffering others by able to course correct in the moment? Well, in order to do that, you have to stay present. You have to stay clear. And there are many ways in which we can hone that skill of staying clear. And obviously many ways in which we can practice truly being present. But if you're living in such a way where you're searching out certainty and you are hoping for hope, well, I think of Nietzsche's quote, hope in reality is the worst of all evils because it prolongs the torments of man. Well, because I believe that the torments of people occur because we're trying to be something other than what we are in the present moment. So Pema, in all of her genius, goes on to say, the word in Tibetan for hope is rewu, R-E-W-A. The word for fear is dokpa. More commonly, the word redok is used, which combines the two. Hope and fear is a feeling with two sides. So as long as there's one, there's always the other. And this is, she says, the root of our pain. Because in the world of hope and fear, we always have to change the channel, change the temperature, change the music, because something's getting uneasy. Something's getting restless. Something is beginning to hurt. And we keep looking for alternatives. So she says, hope and fear come from feeling that we lack something. They come from a sense of poverty. We can't simply relax with ourselves. We hold on to hope, and hope robs us of the present moment. We feel that someone else knows what's going on, but that there's something missing in us. I just thought of the word FOMO that they use. I don't know if anybody still uses it today. But, you know, that fear of missing out, like someone, she says, someone else knows what's going on, but that there's something missing in us. And therefore, something is lacking in our world. So, and she says, rather than letting our negativity get the better of us, we could, I love Pema when you hear the way she writes in this next two paragraphs, rather than letting our negativity get the better of us, we could acknowledge that right now we feel like a piece of shit and not be squeamish about taking a good look. That's the compassionate thing to do. That's the brave thing to do. We could smell that piece of shit. We could feel it. What is its texture, color, and shape? We can explore the nature of that piece of shit. We can know the nature of dislike, shame, and embarrassment and not believe that there's something wrong with that. We can drop the fundamental hope that there's a better me who one day will emerge. We can't just jump over ourselves as if we were not there. It's better to take a straight look at all our hopes and fears. Then some kind of confidence in our basic sanity arises. Then some kind of confidence in our basic sanity arises. How often I have these feelings, you know, of, am I missing something? Is there something I should be doing? What should my life look like right now? You know, I'm a 59-year-old woman. I'm to turn 60 this year. When I look in the rearview mirror of my life, I got to be honest with you. I feel like I don't really like the word accomplished, but I took on a lot of different adventures. They were adventures for me. They were my journey. They were my life. There was quite a bit of bravery. There was quite a bit of naivete. You know, I kind of jumped into things and didn't really ask too many questions, whether it would be getting married or deciding to have children or becoming a homeowner or becoming an artist or teaching yoga and opening a studio, the first studio in my town of Massapequa. I didn't really think about these things. I just jumped in. I felt wholly, fully alive. But now, you know, get to a certain point in your life and they call it the third act as I enter 60 this year. And I'm sure I'll talk about it a lot this year. But, you know, Jane Fonda is very well known for talking about a life review, which she didn't dream up. You know, it's a psychological concept. It's been studied by many wise minds and academic minds in the psychology field to do a life review and so on and so forth. But this third act, you know, you kind of get to a point, and I'm sure you can be any age and feel some of the things I'm trying to describe. I know I did in the past. And that's kind of my point, is to get up and go, okay, what now? You know, what am I doing now? Does everybody else have the answer? Wait, so does every other 59-year-old woman who has, I don't know, survived her marriage, raised amazing humans that are her children, served her community, explored her passions and interests. Does every woman wake up one day at 59 and say, what now? What else is there? Does someone else have the key? Does someone else have the answer to these queries? And I think mired in that is a lot of hope and fear. Kind of hoping something will come my way and I can figure out what next. And I'm kind of fearful that I might have peaked. That might have been it. And so hope and fear, those two things are going to paralyze us. Again, hope, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, even if you don't know what that thing is. And fear, an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation of danger. That danger, well, sometimes that danger could be, am I going to be rendered irrelevant? Am I going to become invisible? Again, what does the future hold? Okay, so what Pema, in my interpretation, is saying is, once we drop the hope that there's a better me that will one day emerge, that's when we really find liberation and become wholly integrated in the moment, in the now. Now is now. And that goes to, you know, whatever it is that we're doing matters. And whatever kind of energy we bring to it, it has a reverberation to it. It has a vibrational energy to it. So what I mean by that is, if I wake up in the morning and I'm down in the dumps, right? First thing you got to do is get vertical, right? You got to get up out of the bed. That's number one. Get those feet on the ground, feel rooted. How may I serve today? Second thing, get some cold water on your face. Just changes everything. Okay, and then begin to go through your day. But if I've got this heavy weight on me, if I've got this feeling of existential dread, I can have that some mornings, then, you know, that is a vibrational energy that's going to be sent out into the world. I'm not shaming or judging that, and neither is Pema Chodron, because basically what she's saying is, sit with the hopelessness. Sit with it, because it's true too. It's like that quote, no feeling is final. Can't remember the source of that quote. It's escaped me, but no feeling is final. And if we don't allow ourselves, if we don't give ourselves the permission to just sit with what is, which some days or some moments are a lack of knowing or a lack of, well, let's just bank on uncertainty, because that's reality. From there can be birthed some really amazing plans, some amazing ideas, some bubbles of creativity, of knowing. But if we keep reaching to change the channel, change the temperature, change the music, if we keep grasping at that thing that's going to take us out of this present moment, then what we're doing is we're allowing hope and fear to take charge. And in doing so, we lose the valuable wisdom that can be present in feeling whatever it is we're feeling, being right here where we are in all of the truth of it. And again, knowing that energy is always shifting, it's always changing. I always amaze myself, because then the very next day I could wake up and I'm like, totally taken on the world today. Nobody might notice. I don't even know if I'll see another human being besides my husband, but I am taken on the world today, because in my own vibrational energy, I'm like, okay, I've got this. But I don't got this every day. No one does. So I don't want to only love myself on the I've got this days. It's imperative that I love and nurture and have compassion for myself on all the days. That's the truth of being here now, wholly and fully present with what is. And she goes on to say that about renunciation. She says, the real thing that we renounce is the tenacious hope that we could be saved from being who we are. Sorry, I chuckle a little bit at that line, but like, that we could be saved from being who we are. How is that even possible? Like, I am royally flawed as a human being, and yet I don't want to be saved from who I am. You know, I want to be me. I want to be me. It's always a possibility that I'll break out into song or quote movies. Renunciation, she says, is a teaching to inspire us to investigating what's happening every time we grab something because we can't stand to face what's coming. She tells this story of being on an airplane sitting next to a man who kept interrupting their conversation to take pills. And she asked him, what are you taking? And he answered that they were tranquilizers. And I said, oh, are you nervous? And he said, no, not now. But I think when I get home, I'm going to be. I mean, and she says, you can laugh at this story, but what happens with you when you begin to feel uneasy, unsettled, or queasy? Notice that panic. You know, I was listening to an interview. It's probably an older one with Emma Stone, the actress Emma Stone, who, yay, just won an Oscar last week for her performance and her artistry in the movie Poor Things. Maybe Pure Things. Well, anyway, you'd have to see the movie. And I think the interview was asking her about anxiety. And I think if you've ever seen some kind of shots or videos of Emma Stone when she's not in character, she has high energy. She has high energy. But this interviewer is asking her about anxiety. And Emma Stone said something like, and I'm not quoting her verbatim, she said, I love my anxiety. You know, she was saying like, I don't think anxiety is a bad thing. You know, general anxiety. She said, you know, without it, I don't know if I would, you know, pounce out of bed in the morning. You know, what would we do without that? And I think she was kind of talking about anxiety like a healthy adrenaline. And I think there's this childlike joy in that I see, like, yeah, like, yay, I got another day. I'm gonna get up. I got a little anxiety. I don't want to stay in the bed much longer. For me, staying in the bed too long in the morning has always been an invitation to the spiraling thoughts in my mind. And so I get up. I just get up. I've always gotten up. Just get up. And that's how I do it. And I felt really that was relatable to me, what Emma Stone was saying. Like, my anxiety gets things done. And of course, obviously, I'm interpreting that she's talking about a level of anxiety that does not disrupt her life, right? It's a level of anxiety that she manages or is in out of control. She says here, Pema Chodron, that you need to notice the panic. Notice when you instantly grab for something. That grabbing is based on hope. Not grabbing is called hopelessness. And she says, if hope and fear are two sides of one coin, so are hopelessness and confidence. If we're willing to give up hope that insecurity and pain can be exterminated, then we can have the courage to relax with the groundlessness of our situation. She says, begin the journey without hope of getting ground under your feet. Begin with hopelessness. Just keep moving. Just keep swimming, as Dory says in Finding Nemo. You know, just keep moving. Just keep swimming. There is no certainty of that. We can be assured. She talks about, you know, relaxing with the present moment, relaxing with hopelessness, relaxing with death, not resisting the fact that things end, that things pass, that things have no lasting substance, that everything is changing all the time. That is the basic message. And she says, giving up hope is encouragement to stick with yourself, to make friends with yourself, to not run away from yourself, to return to the bare bones no matter what's going on. Giving up all hope of alternatives to the present moment, we can have a joyful relationship with our lives, an honest, direct relationship, one that no longer ignores the reality of impermanence and death. Look around you, people. I'm in New York, and spring is springing, and the sun is shining, and we've changed the clocks. So the light is different. Around 4:30 in the afternoon when I'm up in the country in Woodstock, I gotta tell you, the light that shines through my living room and my kitchen, it stops me. This week it's been stopping me in my tracks. And to see the robin redbreasts that are just returning and so happy to pick up the seeds and fly around, and crocuses are trying to push their way up through the soil, through the earth. That's impermanence. And where would we be without it? Take a look at Mother Nature. She shows you change all the time. And it's beautiful. So hope and fear, two sides of the same coin, both are taking you out of the present moment. The acronym for fear is false experience appearing real. Probably have heard that. All these things remove us from the now, and the now is where we have our greatest power. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hands together at the Heart Center. May all beings be happy and peaceful. May all beings be healthy and strong. May all beings be safe and protected. May all beings live with ease. Namaste.